Remember, you can become one by going out to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. Good night, Kanan.
Good night, Jenna.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Last Friday, the Portland City Council approved a ballot measure which, if approved by voters, would allow the city to use general obligation bonds to build affordable housing. Jess Larson is with the Welcome Home Coalition, the group behind the ballot measure. KBOO's Lisa Loving spoke with Jess Larson to learn more.
Well, simply, the ballot measure will read, allows the city of Portland to use general obligation bonds to build affordable housing. And what that means is we're going to use a very common tool, general obligation bonds, that builds public infrastructure. We use general obligation bonds to build bridges, to build our roads, to build libraries, parks, schools. And now, for the first time, we're also going to use this tool to build another critical and sadly, tragically missing piece of our public infrastructure, which are affordable homes. We have many affordable homes, and the homes that we do have, we know work really great and change and save and stabilize the lives of the families who live in these homes. But we sadly have only one home for every two Portlanders who need an affordable home. And so this ballot measure is going to make a really big dent in building hundreds of homes for thousands of Portlanders who need them most.
Who will be paying for it?
So this will be a property tax mechanism, much like we use our property taxes to build those streets, to build those libraries, to build those schools. We're going to be asking Portlanders to do their part to help build more affordable homes.
Okay, now here's the thing. If the ballot initiative passes, what will happen? Where does the money flow to, and then where is it dispersed?
Well, just as with all of our property taxes, it will come in through to city government with a dedicated specific purpose of building affordable homes. It's known to build at least 1,300 deeply affordable homes for about 3,000 Portlanders. It will build homes that are very, very affordable, homes that we cannot find on this market, homes that we cannot ask the market to build or even require the market to build, homes we as a public must invest in. And it will have a significant impact on the families in our community who are in this crisis, many who are sleeping in our shelters, many who are tragically in their cars, kids who are waking up and trying to get to school but don't even know how they're going to get breakfast because their family doesn't have a roof over their head right now. And for these community members, we are going to build hundreds of homes to bring thousands of Portlanders into safety, stability, and hope to get back to life and being a family again.
So if I could get a sense of the timeline, then this is actually qualified for the ballot.
Today it will.
And then that means it'll be voted on in November.
Exactly.
Do you have a sense of how long it would take from potential passage of this by voters and breaking ground? There a sense of timeline?
Absolutely. So the resources will be collected and available to the city next summer, so about a year from now. And we'll be able to put those resources immediately into action. It's likely that we will spend the resources out over a period of 5 years or so because we're going to generate a lot of revenue with this property tax, and it takes time to get it out and into the community. But starting next July, we'll be able to do two things: break ground for the construction of new affordable homes in places of changing neighborhoods and high opportunity neighborhoods and places that we know need affordable homes and we haven't been able to build them yet. We're also going to be able to take in market rate housing that is available in our community right now. But as you know, rents are going up, new buyers are coming in, developers changing bathrooms and putting in new countertops and jacking up the rent $500 or asking everybody to leave with a no-cause eviction. And as this happens in our market and wreaks havoc in our communities, we now as a public can intervene and purchase those for-sale buildings and bring them into the affordable housing stock, meaning we keep the families in place. Maybe we even buy the rents down further so they're more affordable to families who need those apartments most. So these resources go into immediate effect as soon as they're available starting next summer.
And the reason we know that the city council is going to pass this today is because this is emerging from this whole idea and program is emerging from city government.
Well, this moment really emerges out of the work of the coalition, the research of the coalition, and the partnership with our city leaders, absolutely, who yesterday passed a construction excise tax, which is for the first time available for use in the city of Portland after years of being preempted with state legislation. But advocates organized, mobilized, and changed state legislation this winter, allowing for local governments to use both construction excise taxes, and soon we're going to use an inclusionary housing policy too. Both of these are mechanisms that mitigate the market and help new development include affordability or pay for affordability, because as we create new high and often luxury housing, we need to make sure we're also creating housing that's affordable for the people who are going to be working the jobs, serving the coffee to the people who live in that high rise housing or high value housing. So this is an example of another tool that just passed yesterday.
So for people who might be listening to us right now, people who we actually get calls at this radio station from people who are housing insecure and anticipate that literally within days they will not have a place to live. They call us to ask us what they should do. And so for people who might be listening to this right now who are housing insecure, what steps do they need to take to get in line to potentially benefit from this new day in housing policy and a new way of directing affordable housing resources? For people that need a place to live, what do they need to do to take advantage of this when it passes? If it passes.
Right. Well, for all of us, for those in immediate crisis, but also all of us who are connected to these stories and these real lived experience, I encourage us all to tell these stories, to keep bringing awareness to this need in our community, because sadly, the truth is there's nothing that we have to offer right now. I worked for 10 years on the front lines of the housing crisis. And when I started my work at Northwest Pilot Project, one of our premier social service agencies working with seniors, I could help a senior individual who was experiencing homelessness get immediately into shelter that night. I could tell that senior, you will never spend another night outside. You and I will work together day by day, week by week, until we solve all the problems that have created your homelessness. We get you back on the right wait lists and get you ready to move in as soon as that apartment is ready. And it will be about 3 to 4 months, which is good because that's about how much time we have for you to stay at the shelter. And I know it's not immediate, but we'll start with the shelter tonight, and I promise there are keys to your permanent affordable home here in 3 to 4 months. That was in 2006. Today, that story is a whole other story, and it's being told in social service agencies with caseworkers across the entire system. It sounds a lot more like, I can get you on the wait list for the shelter. It's probably going to take 6 weeks for me to get you inside. If you were to go to the front door yourself, it might be more like 8 weeks to get inside the shelter, maybe 3 months. So let me do what I can to get you in as soon as I can. But I don't know where you can sleep tonight. Do you know someone you can call? Do you have a sleeping bag? I'm sorry. But let's keep working on this together. I will partner with you to make sure we overcome any barrier that stands in your way to getting an affordable home, and we'll get you on all those right wait lists, which are about a year and a half long right now. So you're going to have to go through that shelter a few times. I've even known people who've left town to go to other shelters in other small towns in Oregon because they ran out of time in shelters in Portland. So we have an incredible backlog of resource of need, because people are waiting. They're waiting in shelters, they're waiting to get into shelters, and they're all just waiting for homes. And our whole system is broken because we haven't created enough affordable homes. And that's what this is all about, is making sure we address the right point of this crisis, which is making sure that there are enough deeply affordable homes.
So as someone who has worked as a service provider, and I basically as a social worker helping people with this issue over a span of years, what do you maybe anticipate might be some of the important issues that come up later?
When we have this housing resource, Sure, absolutely. We need to make sure we're building these homes in neighborhoods that need them, in all neighborhoods across the city. We need to make sure that kids can stay in the schools they're in now and continue to graduate from those schools and not have to move around, that families can go back to their historic neighborhoods like in North and Northeast Portland, where so many families have been displaced. And now we have a preference policy that gives families with history in Albina neighborhoods the opportunity to return. The problem is there are long wait lists for those opportunities. And so we need to build more homes so those wait lists are shorter, so more people can return to their communities, to their families, to their churches, to the schools and the parks and the places that they've always only known. So where we build these homes is really important. And the answer to that is everywhere. All of our neighborhoods need these stabilizing, great buildings that bring an anchor to the community in many ways. I think another question is who we're serving. We need to make sure that there's homes for youth who are transitioning out of our foster systems. We need to make sure there are homes for parents, moms or dads who are escaping domestic violence with kids, and giving safe places for kids to get to and back in home and stable as quickly as possible. We need to move kids out of shelters as fast as possible. That's no place to grow up. And we need to make sure there are family-sized apartments for these families. We need to think about our grandparents who need accessible dwelling opportunities as they age, and make sure that they can age in their neighborhoods. So we need smaller apartments too that have ADA accessibility. So we need to be thinking of everybody and making sure that we're addressing all kinds of need in this housing crisis with all kinds of building types and locations throughout the community.
Is there anything else that's important about this issue that I've not asked you about? What have we left out?
Well, it's been a year about talking about the homeless emergency. It's been a year of scrambling with general fund dollars. It's been a year of coming up with unique, creative solutions to looking at the pain and trauma our community members are experiencing in this housing crisis, and trying to figure out how to provide immediate relief to this homelessness crisis. And we applaud our leaders and our brilliant community advocates who stepped up to do as much as we can in this state of crisis. And now we are all here standing together saying, we cannot end this crisis until we talk not about Band-Aids, but about permanent solutions, healing and true recovery, which means home. And so this is the final, the next solution to our, it's the only solution to our homelessness crisis, is to make sure that families and people can escape, can end homelessness, not with shelter, not with a mat, but a home. And that's what we need most, so we can move these family members out of these shelters and into home, where they start being a family again and getting on with life.
How do people find out more about this effort?
So we need your volunteer time and we need your support. Please check us out online at yesforaffordablehomes.com. Please come on out and support the campaign, door knocking and phone banking and giving of your time, your dollars and your voice for this great movement. Yesforaffordablehomes.com. Thank you.
Jess Larson, welcome home. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
For KBOO News, I'm Lisa Loving.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 5:58, and coming up next, Transpositive.
Million dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. Then I turned myself to face me, but I never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
To change it.
Turn and face the strange.
To change it.
Then
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.